Hello and welcome back to the University Radio Bath's coverage of the 2024 Student Union Officer elections. So we're joined by Amber Snary, who is standing to be the Student Officer for Education. So hello, Amber. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you want to stand again for the role of SU Education Officer.
Oh man, okay. I've already said this to these guys, but like I feel like I'm just going to be completely nervous. So hi, I'm Amber. I'm the current education officer here at the SU. And this is very much one of those things where I'm like, I still don't have an elevator pitch for my job. Whenever I try and tell people about it, it's kind of like, I'm here to protect the reps and not fist fight senior management, but kind of be like, why aren't you doing what you're meant to be doing? Why do I want to rerun? I feel like there's a lot of things about rerunning, like you've already had that kind of massive learning curve, like the first 6 months. So that and like all the relationships you've made in the university really give you this advantage that you wouldn't have with a new officer. And I've also really found like a home in the SU, both like the team, the officer team, everyone there. And I like to think I'm good at my job. So I don't know why I wouldn't try and rerun.
Yeah, brilliant. And I mean, you've obviously done a lot over the past year. You've obviously probably learnt a lot from the experience. How much more do you think you can give and how much more potential do you think there is for you to make change?
Okay, so I feel like a lot of the things that kind of get proposed by officers year after year don't tend to be resolved because you're always constantly flipping and changing over. And so really hyper-aware my voice. Being able to already have those kind of relationships in place, I think gives you like a head start and it lets you hit the ground running for a lot of issues that have turned out to be way more complicated than you thought they would be in the first place. Stuff like boring stuff like unit evaluations, essential stuff like lecture recordings, stuff like that. Does that answer the question?
No, definitely. Yeah, it does. So you still feel like you've got a lot to give then.
Mm.
Yeah, brilliant. And so what are your main policies for your campaign?
For this one coming?
This one coming, yeah.
So as well as, like I've already touched on the thing about like some issues are obviously way more complex than we thought they would be. So it's kind of like taking stuff from last year's manifesto that has proved to be nowhere near a quick fix as you thought it would be in the first place, like stuff like lecture recordings and stuff like that, and kind of carrying on, plugging on at those. So, and like it seems totally like, I don't know if it seems like pessimistic or anything, but kind of like if I can make loads and loads of progress the year that I've got left and next year, then I can be in a really good, strong position to be able to hand it over to whoever's next. And so like I'm going to be pessimistic and say like there's always going to be people who don't want to like record lectures and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that we can't empower students to ask for them and this, that and the other. So building on stuff like that, as well as like putting some more niche bits into it, like helping to build academic communities. So you guys can grill me on that if you want. And also stuff around reward and recognition. So obviously last year it was Access with Amber and it was very much like being able to get into your education and get the most out of it. And now it's more like, now you're getting the most out of your education, getting more and getting recognised and feeling like you belong, because that's what the whole university sells itself on, the whole hashtag belong at Bath thing.
And obviously a key part of your job is overseeing the academic rep system,
mm-hmm.
which obviously every course will have academic reps every year. How have you worked with them over the past year to sort of understand their concerns and then go from there and sort of speak to the university and try and improve the situation for students?
Right, okay. That was like three questions in one, so I might need to ask you to repeat it. But so I really drew on my own experiences as both an academic and faculty rep. So starting off with stuff like academic reps, we have like a Teams channel that I'm aware not everyone like looks at or whatever, but it's absolutely chock full of like useful information, like really easy like TLDRs and graphics on stuff like individual mitigating circumstances and appeals and stuff, because when you're in a panic or when you're trying to explain it to someone who's in a panic, it's terrifying. Stuff like that. Retaining the transparency that we all promised so much last year with stuff like being like, okay guys, this is where I'm in my top 10s, this is where I'm in my manifestos, just making sure they have all that information. We also revitalized faculty forms, which is where academic reps can meet with their faculty reps at least once a semester. We get them in a room, we get them like cuppas, and just making sure that people have at least one point of contact with their faculty reps that they feel really confident with to elevate those concerns. And then of course reps like either directly come, I've something that I really love this year is reps kind of just randomly message me on the Teams and they're like, I have this weird idea, and I'm like, let's get this sorted, or they can do it through their faculty reps. And I feel like I'm just rambling now, I might need you to ask.
No, so you think there's a big potential for change because of the academic rep system? Yeah. And so you think it's really good, really fit for purpose?
I feel like it could improve in some ways, but I feel like it, like one of the reasons that I am consistently like, yay, education, is because like I do just adore the academic reps. I think especially because it's a volunteer position, they are doing so much, and all of them are just like, they're so amazingly eloquent, and they're just like so able to explain what they want and need in their course.
And you mentioned about academic communities. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So like, I'm going to start off with like the concept of academic communities, because I don't want to just kind of start off from a place of assumed knowledge. But academic communities, at least in the context of this university, would be linking together like all aspects of your course. So you'd link together, for example, your departmental society, and you'd link together your academic reps, your faculty reps, you'd link together like peer support, like this, that, and the other. And it's something that we can see is already being done informally or through the department in places like comp sci and psychology, but obviously this isn't a universal thing. So where you've got some students that are being able to really benefit from this and get like research experience, and they know their educational rights and this lot really well, you're getting students that like can go their whole university career and not 100% know like when they can apply for even an extension, let alone something more heavy like an IMC or an appeal. And just kind of making sure that people have that universal access and knowledge, and that they feel confident and they can really make use of like all the alumni connections and stuff that Bath boasts about.
And how have you found almost engaging with our current students is in terms of their educational welfare and their educational rights?
I think the economics exam brought a lot to light. It brought a lot to light. So obviously, like, I don't even know if I need to explain the economics exam. I feel like it's a legend at this point.
I'd say do it again, just very quickly.
Okay, yeah. So to cut a long story real short, and you guys can like find this on BBC News, about 200, 400, hundreds of students went into an economic exam where they had published the mark scheme for their second marker. And it was a mess. Obviously, they were made to still sit the exam even though it was void, and then they had to redo it all over again. There was a massive uproar from reps and non-reps alike, and seeing like, especially where people weren't reps in the first place and then they just like went into all this research was super inspiring. And it was just kind of like disconcerting to see how many people felt powerless and that they could do nothing, and just being like, well, you could apply for an IMC, and they're like, what's that? And it's like, what do you mean I don't know what that is? Like, come on, let me help you. And does that, have I just kind of...
So almost what I'm getting from this is like a key role of your job is empowering students, is informing them about sort of how much they can do themselves, mm-hmm. and all the options that are out there available through them, through the university.
I love that. Can that be my new elevator pitch?
And in terms of the current committee, mm-hmm. what do you believe are some of the successes of what you've been working on over the past year? And yeah, what would you really like to do with that extra year if there's a specific goal out there you'd like to attain?
Like me personally, or like as an officer team?
Well, yeah, a little bit about the officer team over the past year, but you personally, what's that specific goal, that specific objective of yours for the next 12 months?
Okay, so we were literally called like the lovey-dovey delegates when we went to other places, because we are very much almost like just like a family, and it's been such an amazing time. And I feel like it's going to get to results and I'm just going to be like, no, I don't want you guys to leave. Because obviously not everyone's rerunning. I feel like there's a lot we've collaborated on over the past year that have been amazing. I've now gone like completely blank on what I've done over the past year. They make us do like fortnightly blogs, so if you guys want to look at that, it's a slog, but yeah. I think, yeah, if I could achieve anything by like, say, like even this time next year, I think the kind of making sure that people like it's a universal thing that people know their educational rights and that people do have this greater sense of belonging and that academic community and that people are being rewarded and recognised, especially like there's going to be a new vice chancellor soon, making sure that that new vice chancellor does engage with students in the same way that Ian has, I think would be like ideal. Not much to ask, just a little.
Well, Amber, thank you very much for coming on. Just as a sort of final note to leave us on, tell us how your campaign preparations are going.
I'm on a very small team, as I was last year. So last year it was just me and a guy called Trevor, and it's just me and him again. So last year I kind of was panicking and I'd lost all my DIS data and it was a terrifying time. But this time I have annual leave and I'll be out on the parade with like pick and mix and stickers and hopefully tiny little paper hats and like flowers and stuff. So even though like everyone will know I'm unopposed by this point when this goes out, right?
Yeah, the...
So even though I'm unopposed, I could go on about the kind of like, even if you're unopposed, you have to run because like dignity and like fairness and voting and stuff. But also just being able to like reward you guys a little is really driving me.
Well, Amber, thank you very much. And a reminder to all our listeners, the polls are open Tuesday the 5th of March. So get out there, use your vote and head over to the SU website.